Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Charlton's unbeaten start to the season comes to an end, and Lee Bowyer came to the end of his tether after some creative time-wasting from Birmingham. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here on your Sunday evening from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me in the studio here as we get ready to look back at our first defeat of the season yesterday against Birmingham City is Mr. Terry Smith. How are you doing, Terrell?
Evening, yeah, okay-ish.
Yeah, it's just a bit deflating, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not used to losing, only the third time in 2019.
We were saying off air, but you look at the league table this time of the season, you should be quite, you know, we should be delighted, we should be, you know, chuffed to bits, but then... You know, after the run we've been on, we're a little bit, a little bit of an anticlimax.
I had visions of, you know, buying a flag that said the Invincibles at the end of the season. And,
and especially being, you know, the occasion the day was yesterday. It left a little bit of a flat feeling.
And the fact that Birmingham cheated.
And it's Birmingham.
Fuming. I mean, we were about to score the equalising goal when they threw that ball on. I mean, I know officially it was a goal kick for Birmingham when they threw the ball on. But if that hadn't happened, I'm fairly confident we were going to score twice in that 6 minutes.
There was an own goal in there just about to happen. Yeah.
Oh, no fuming. Well, if you watch Arsenal today, exactly, you can score from someone else's goal kick. There you go. So on tonight's show, we will look back at yesterday's defeat against Birmingham City. We'll discuss the controversial moment at the end where Lee Bowyer got his marching orders from the referee after gently rolling a ball into the midriff of a Birmingham City coach. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer. We'll hear him describe that incident in pretty much those words, actually, himself after the game. We want to hear from you guys as well. Big news, of course, is yesterday we found out that Lyle Taylor is set for a few weeks on the sidelines, so we're going to have to deal with him. So we want to know, deal with him being out. We want to know what you make of that news, what you made of the red card for Lee Bowyer, what you made of the game overall yesterday. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. charltonlife.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there where you can have your say for this evening's show as well. And then later on in the show, just as a fun little addition towards the end, I thought we'd talk, because obviously that's a bit of gamesmanship, the Birmingham bench throwing on the ball to try and waste a little bit of time. I thought, you know, now we've all calmed down a little bit, let's think of some other times where retrospectively it probably is quite funny that, that someone's cheated, basically, but in funny ways. So I thought of one a few years ago when Paul Dickhoff was the Oldham manager and ran onto the pitch to stop us taking a free kick in front of his dugout, which you don't often see from a manager. So anything like that, studio at charltonlive.co.uk, tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live forum. Remind us of funny times that we've been cheated out of 3 points like we were yesterday, sort of. Right, the game itself, I mean, it was the big occasion, 100 years back at the Valley, unlike that game on the 13th of September 1919 when Charlton A beat Somers Town 2-0. We were unable to repeat the trick, unfortunately. First defeat of the season.
They did their own work, didn't they, Birmingham? They obviously looked at our side, looked at the way we play, looked at what our strengths are, and nullified us. Pretty much. I mean, and any time we managed to get past their midfield, they failed us. And the disappointing thing for me, I suppose, is that obviously without Lyle Taylor, we didn't have that, I don't know, that spark, I suppose, because Lyle Taylor, you know, he, what he does up top, he first of all, he winds people up. Secondly, he makes two people mark him. He runs into channels and he's always that out ball, which I think will come from Tom Hamed and maybe Lecco did it up to a point, but whether that would have made any difference or not is a debatable one, because as I said, Birmingham did their own work on us. They knew every time that we got the ball in that midfield, whereas we press, and then when we get the ball we do that close passing manoeuvres and create space. They didn't allow us to do it. I think Conor Gallagher, who was probably one of the pick of our players, I thought yesterday, especially in the first half, worked hard but just couldn't create that space. And I thought Sam Field couldn't get forward as much as he wanted to, and there was lots of gaps when we had the ball, with nobody to pass it to, and they just did a job on us from start to finish.
Certainly did. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. Your commentators on Valley Pass were, of course, Greg Stubley and our very own Terry Smith.
Corner now comes in towards the edge of the six-yard box. It's dropped towards a Birmingham City foot, and it's Roberts who takes the shot, and it's blocked away. I think that was Field, who threw himself in front of the ball on this right-hand side as Charlton attack. Cullen and Ostermer over the ball. Two Birmingham players there for the short one, but Ostermer looks like he's going to send this in long. He does, towards the near post. Look, is there? Pierce is there. Yes. Pierce's header, which flies harmlessly in the end into the back of the little touch. Well, he got away with the first one, but it'll run to Solly. In the penalty area, Solly finds Gallagher. Gallagher chips it over the bar. And Solly may have been claiming a penalty there from the referee. Nothing given. It's a goalkeep to Birmingham.
He's coming back. Tries to deflect the ball off Davis. Davis faces his own goal. Look, you in the box. Oh, Hemed diving header for it. It's come off of Robertson and then hit Hemed, who put his full face. Think of Jules Lapsley against Portsmouth, that kind of style, just full face towards the ball, but Roberts' clearance deflects off Hemed out of play for a goal kick onto the ball. It's a lovely touch inside to Lecco, who turns. Lecco still. Lecco goes for goal! It's wide. Yeah, Cullen to his right and Akers of space.
Yeah, and he should have used him as well, and he knows it.
Right, and Roberts under pressure from Ostermer, ball in the box. It's a flick from Jukovic and a decent tip over the bar by Dylan Phillips. A lovely flick from Jukovic at the near post. Divert that Goldwoods was pretty special, and a good save from Phillips. That to be gets across. Can Lecco get there? No, he can't. And there is the half-time whistle. Colin skips past Gallagher and skips past Phil. It's too easy. Colin making a decent run. Ball down the line to Maratby in the penalty area. Maratby, ball will back. Cuts a chance to Bellingham, and it's 1-0 to Birmingham. It's really sloppy defending from the Addicts, you have to say. As Colin is allowed to run forward, skip past two Charlton challenges. Ball out to the right to Maratby, ball across, and Benlam finishes nicely. And Charlton will have to come from behind.
Yeah, I'm slightly disagreeing with you about the field header. I thought it was a waste into space that nobody was at. And it allowed Birmingham to break away, and then nobody tracked Davis at all. He was allowed to waltz through the midfield virtually unopposed, and that might be because of the field header not finding its mark. And the ball back across. Charlton fans were trying to Charlton players rather went back to the line to try and deal with it, and the ball was back, cut back across, Bellingham, unopposed into the edge of the six-yard box, couldn't miss.
Finds Jukovic. Jukovic turns onto his right foot, goes for goal! And over the bar. Oh, Dylan Phillips got a touch, according to the
I'm not sure
referee.
How he saw that, if he did, although Dylan Phillips isn't complaining. Purrington in front of the tunnel area to take the throw. Runs into Gallagher, who made the run. Can he keep it on after his touch? He can. He's got Lecco behind him. Fizzed ball to Purrington. Gets the ball across. Solly with a shot! Oh! Saved away! Runs to Lecco! Gallagher! And he... Well, it was a shot, but it's got away for a throw-in on the far side. I thought he was going to leave it to Jonathan Lecco there, but he swiped it across. I'm pretty sure it was a shot.
Yeah, well, he didn't expect Chris Solly to be the one to pop up on the end of that. He caught it really well with his left foot. It's the first save Camp's had to make.
As far as Williams. Williams trying to turn it into space. Finds Gallagher. Gallagher, will he shoot? He does! Left-hand saved again! And Chuksunike can't get there. It's cleared away by Pedersen. And Charlton really knocking on the door now.
Yeah, the pressure's building. The substitutions have...
Hamid tries. It'll drop to Gallagher. Takes his man on and he's taken out by Davis, who's already been booked. And Charlton take it quickly. Out to Chris Solly. Solly forward to Anike in the area. Anike, can he turn it round? He can! And in over the bar!
It's corner. Oh, that has to be a corner.
It has to be a corner.
Has to be a corner. There's no way Hemmets keep that over from there, surely. But I tell you what, Terry.
Davis has to be booked for that, surely.
Davis has to get a second yellow card. And Charlton are asking that question. Has to get a second yellow card. You know, don't want to make too many excuses, but...
Well, Birmingham, the Birmingham bench has just kicked the ball onto the pitch. It's a waste time, I'm assuming.
And now the referee's just walking over to the...
To the assistant and fourth official who are telling him what's happened. And I dare say somebody's going to get to... And Lee Bowe's just thrown it at the Birmingham. I'm not sure who he is, but he went to come and get the ball and he just thrown it at him.
Ben Bowe's going to get a yellow card here as well. It's just bizarre.
Just chaos, isn't it? They haven't got a clue what's going on, the officials here, I don't think.
I mean, that should... Dan Myers is a sending off offence for a staff member to kick the ball onto waste time.
Well, now the referee's coming to talk to Bowyer now, I think. Well, Bowyer's got a red card. That's quite unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
But it's not your day, it's not your day.
Oh, Colin gets there first, though, and then falls over. Oh. And the referee's blown up. We haven't even played a minute of added time. Well, apart from the disgraceful refereeing performance, Charlton didn't just have enough to break down a hard-working, physical Birmingham side.
So there we go, Tell. First defeat of the season. I think you sort of summed it up quite nicely at the end there. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of focus on the referee and the disappointment of the situation that happened right at the end and the gamesmanship from Birmingham City. But overall, and we look at our performance, and it was a fairly even game. There weren't many chances, but if you didn't probably create enough chances to get something out of that for us.
No, I agree. I mean, I think we had chances. I mean, neither side really shone in the final third, I don't think. I mean, most of their threat came from set pieces and the long throw. And they scored with the only bit of football. I think they played pretty much the whole game. We huffed and puffed. We had a few half chances, especially after the substitutions in the second half. We could have stole the equaliser. Maybe steal's probably a harsh, too harsh a word. But on the other hand, and I still stand by that statement where I said that we probably just didn't do enough to break them down. They didn't allow us to do enough. And that's, I think, I agree with you 100%, and I said it at the time, you know, you can't blame the ref for us not winning, as bad as he was. But what you can blame the ref for is that, I mean, they committed somewhere in the region of 20 fouls, I think, I saw a stat. They were doing it from minute one. I mean, how Šunčić didn't get a yellow card? How many times did he stop play by fouls? How many times? I mean, I lost count. Never even got spoken to. Now, that persistent fouling is clearly gamesmanship of a type. That should be punished after a while. I mean, the fact that he didn't get yellow at all is just astounding. I think Pierce rightly got a yellow card for deliberately stopping them going forward once, and got a yellow card. How many times did Suncic do that? He was slightly better at it, I think. That might be the reason. But it took him for ages. And as we said on the comments, Howard Davis never got a second yellow for doing pretty much exactly what Pierce had done earlier on. Is beyond me, just beyond me completely. Yeah. But you know, but we're clutching at straws here a little bit, and we have to probably hold our hands up and say Birmingham did a job on us.
Yeah, inconsistencies in refereeing can be frustrating. But yeah, I mean, if we'd gone away to Birmingham, but in that performance, even with the niggly fouling, maybe even chucking a ball on, if I'm being honest, I would have been delighted it coming away with 3 points.
I wouldn't have put it past any of us, any of our lot, to do that. And you know, when you consider Jason Pearce is the master at going down with injured. We're getting near the end when we're 1-0 up or 2-1 up. He goes down feigning like he's got a broken something or other. Just to waste time, but just to delay things, just to put, you know, take them off their stride. So, you know, you've got to take it on the chin when it happens against you. That, you know, you want some help, especially early on in the game. And we've seen it a few times, especially last season as well. You know, if the referee doesn't clamp down on those type of... when it's clear what they're doing. Very clear what they're doing. They're trying to stop us playing. I get that, and that's fine. But they were doing it illegally. You know, the fact that they had 20 fouls to our, well, I think it was a 7 or 8, shows that what they were doing. And I think, you know, that should be clamped down a bit sooner. And then if they're on a yellow, they don't do it again. And then maybe it opens up a bit.
Now, obviously, the winning goal for Birmingham, there's going to be questions about the defending, as there is after every goal you can see, everyone's going to sort of dissect it and see it was just a run through the midfield that perhaps he danced beyond a few challenges that we could have done better with before he ended up squaring it to Jude Bellingham. So it's a hell of a story for that young man. His first goal against Stoke. That was his first start, and he gets his second goal, only 16 years old. But you know, from a Charlton point of view, you're going to look at that and think, well, where could we have stopped that before it happens?
Most definitely. I mean, actually, Colin, that right back of theirs was a threat all game, I thought. Him and Cowley on that right hand side posed us a lot of problems. And we just watched him waltz through us a bit. Whether he caught us by surprise coming inside when we were expecting him to go out, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, we just sort of tended to watch him go. It was like a parting of the Red Sea, wasn't it? The pass into everybody went towards the 6-yard box. Our momentum took us towards the edge of the 6-yard box, expecting the ball to be fizzed across, probably to Jukovic. And he dragged it back a little bit behind us, and Bellingham couldn't miss. Yeah. As good a player as he is, he couldn't miss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, of course, we had a couple of chances coming back into it, which we'll go into more detail. But then, obviously, the other main talking point of the game then is the situation with Lee Bayer. So, from memory, I think the ball had gone out for a goal kick for Birmingham. So, already Lee Camp's going to be picking it up, walking around with it for a little bit, trying to waste a little bit of time. And like I say, we've done that a million times away from home ourselves, and we're not going to complain too much about that. Now, I see a ball coming on from the dugout to a right-hand side, sort of just out the corner of my eye. And, I mean, that is so frustrating because there's... And this is good. This probably doesn't even make sense, but there's different levels of time wasting that you feel. And just something like that, the fact that they'd throw a ball on just to waste time, just for no other reason than to waste time, it does feel so frustrating. Now, it leads to a situation where the ball is booted back into the dugout. Lee Bowyer picks it up, walks out of his technical area towards the Birmingham City technical area, speaks to one of the coaches or the kit men or whoever this chap is, says, "This is your ball." He says yes, and Bowyer, I mean, we've seen the footage now that was on Quest. It's not the best footage, but you can see what happens. If you want to see it, it's on my Twitter as well. If you scroll down at my last couple of tweets, he launches the ball in the direction of the dugout, but it does sort of hit the Birmingham City kit man or whoever it is.
I don't think it actually hits him though.
Oh, he does.
Does it?
He
oh,
does.
Okay.
Yeah. He sort of puts his hands out to stop it hitting him in the belly. So,
well, to be fair, if it hit that fella in the belly, it would have probably gone back on the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. More time wasting. Yeah, maybe that's how he got there in the first place. But so your views on that, Terry? I mean, first of all, I thought a yellow card is a bit soft for what is effectively, I mean, cheating. You're time wasting like that when there's no reason for that ball to go on the pitch.
Lee Bowyer, and I'm sure he said, I don't know if you've got the full interview, but I'm pretty sure he explains why. And it's bizarre. So should we preempt it? Should we say what's going
to... You might, yeah.
Yeah, effectively, the referee's gone over. He didn't see it. The fourth official didn't see it. The linesman didn't see it. So they just know a ball appeared on the pitch and it was from the Birmingham dugout. That's all they know. And the Birmingham manager was lambasting his people for doing it, which fair enough. Okay, thank you for that. But when it came then down to finding out who done it, nobody put their hands up. So the referee apparently said to the Birmingham manager, Pep Clotet, if somebody doesn't hold their hand up to this, I'm booking you. he's just making that up. That's not the rules, is
it? I mean, because, for example, say on the pitch, there's a bit of a melee, and in the middle of it, someone chucks in a two-footed tackle, which is a red card offence. And the referee is actually, I'm really not sure who did this. There was too many bodies. Okay, you're human. It doesn't matter. You don't go to the captain and say, right, I'm booking you.
I'm sending you off.
I'll give you half a punishment because I'm not entirely sure who it is. So, for starters, I mean, that's disappointing. Now,
if he'd have turned around and said, right, if none of you own up to this, I'm giving him a free kick on the edge of the box.
Penalty goal.
Yeah, whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah, but if you're going to do something that the punishment fits the crime, then you say, right, well, it was your goal kick. Now it's a corner, unless you own up.
Yeah.
And then one of them would have owned up, you could have done it. But
again, that would have taken a hell of a lot of making up the rules.
Well, granted, but he did it anyway. And then he's gone over to an Oboye. Look, he's got the ump. Of course he's got the ump because of what Birmingham did. Did he launch it in his face? No. So he was not going to kill him. Mm. It wasn't a two-footed lunge, which is a red cardable offence. He threw it at him. I could understand it if he'd got a yellow card. I'd say, well, that's fair enough. He threw a bit of frustration. Because I think on the pitch, that's a yellow card offence as well.
See, I'm of the opposite view there. Because I think if you're on the pitch and there's been a foul, and obviously if you get up and react and punch someone, that's a red card. If you get up and react and throw the ball at his face, I think that'd be a red card.
But he didn't throw it at his face. That's the point. If
you throw it in his direction, his midriff, I still think a player would be sent off for that on the pitch. So I haven't seen the video. Well,
actually, if there are any referees listening, let us know. Is that punishable by a red card? Yeah,
that would be interesting. Actually, does that come under something like violent conduct or anything or whatever the exact term is? We'd be interested.
But again, nobody saw it. Apparently, the referee didn't see it. Yeah. The fourth official guessed it had happened, but wasn't looking at it, nor was the linesman. Mm. So they came to the decision by guessing it.
Yeah, well, again, I think Bowyer says he doesn't think the fourth official sees it, but I've seen a photograph that suggests the fourth official was staring right at Bowyer when it happened. So I think that's another. But I mean, I only saw it out of the corner of my eye.
I saw him throw it.
Yeah, so you knew what happened. I was aware that a ball had gone from our dugout to theirs. I hadn't even seen who'd done it, really. But I have to admit, when I watched it on Quest last night, and they didn't even show it during the normal game, it was when they're doing the interviews after, and they cut to Bowyer with the ball in his hand, a close-up, and I thought, oh, here we go. Here's the money shot. But then they pulled away, and it was a really wide angle, but you could still see. I mean, after the first thing I did was burst out laughing. It's like, yeah, he absolutely launched that in the guy's direction. But I did think, yeah, if there's going to be an appeal with the footage you've got, even if he's going to try and claim he didn't think it was that aggressive, there's no way.
I did say it to the boys afterwards because they were asking in the media room. Do you think the club can appeal for that? And I said, well, if there's evidence of him actually throwing the ball towards somebody or the dugout, then probably not.
Chance, yeah.
Unless that isn't a rule. Unless the rule of throwing the ball at somebody isn't a red cardable offence, then they should be able to appeal it. Mm. And that's the key, I think.
Yeah.
You can tell we've got too much money, though, can't you?
Right.
Because if that was Sunday football, we'd have nicked that ball.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean,
that would have been ours.
Yeah. I mean, I saw someone put on the forum, it's unusual for an away team to have all the balls lined up, ready to go, in their dugout. Now, it's not unusual for an away team to bring a bag of balls for training, but why would they have them ready to go? Because if you need a new ball, is surely...
Do you reckon they got previous?
I reckon. I'm going to go through and check now every Birmingham game for the rest of the season. How many balls they've got?
How many balls
the
pitch they kick it, and how many find their way onto the pitch mysteriously? Yeah. That's worth a check.
Right. Anyway. Right. Okay. So I mean, we've probably given that enough time for now, but we will be talking more about that, I'm sure, with the tweets that are coming in. But I mean, the game itself, obviously, the headline before, like we said, was there was no Lyle Taylor. His injury is, as we know, currently for a few weeks. We talked about this on Thursday, and as I said on Thursday's show, you know, I expected it was a bit of mind games. The rumour was that he was definitely going to be out, and the rumour is could be out for a certain amount of time. Now, you asked five different people here at the Valley yesterday, you would have got five different answers on how long he's going to be out. So I'm not going to second guess that because I don't know which one is right. And Lee Bowyer said he doesn't know for certain yet, but we know he's going to be out for a few weeks. So yesterday we saw the first time we are going to have to play without Lyle Taylor, something that could happen after January if he gets sold, which is more than possible. We saw Tommy Ahmed come in. Ahmed, who hasn't had the minutes that he needs, of course, yet, but Ahmed, who didn't perhaps have the same impact that we'd hope Lyle Taylor would have had yesterday.
No, I agree. And I think it's unfair to expect that as well, probably, Tommy Ahmed. I mean, he's played a game and a half or less.
So he came on twice, hasn't
so
he?
Came on twice, it, yeah. So not even a full 90. So it's probably a little bit unfair to expect him to hit the ground running in the same way we've got Lyle Taylor playing. Having said that, we're going to have to cope. And so he's got to hit the ground running at some point or other. To be fair to him, I think it wasn't there where we lost it, really. We lost it because we didn't create enough. And I don't know whether that would have made any difference had Lyle Taylor been on the pitch, because Birmingham stopped us creating enough. We had, what was it, three or four shots on target from memory. And we still could have stolen it with the shots from Gallagher and Solly. But actually, in terms of shots on target, it was three. I think we had similar 10 or 12 shots off target. So would Lyle Taylor have made a difference yesterday? I'm not sure. Yeah, because he can hold the ball up better, as well as anybody I've seen. He can wind up opponents up to force them into challenges they don't normally make. Doesn't always get free kicks for as many as he should. But he does worry defenders. And maybe it's a mental thing as well. When your top scorer is not in the game, perhaps mentally you're just already slightly down. I think there were a lot of factors yesterday. We were on a roll before the international break, and we have that break, and maybe that stalled our momentum. There's lots of little reasons you can give for us not performing yesterday. Well, I think that's probably a bit harsh. I say not performing, not being allowed to perform yesterday. Because I think in terms of effort, I don't think you could have fault too many of them.
Yeah, it's one of those games, isn't it? Every time I sort of try and think about the performance side, I think, in the first half, we were the team that probably created more half chances. Birmingham had the best chance, that save from Phillips when Djukovic had the effort from the cross that came in. But we were moving the ball around, you know, doing what you have to do when you play a team like that who has come to defend. You're going to try and stretch them a little bit. You know, Lecco's going to try and run with the ball, which he did a couple of times, perhaps not as much as he'd done previously. And you're right, I am trying to think how Taylor would have made a difference. I think he would have held the ball up better. You're right, I think defenders would have been drawn to him, which would then have try to break up that solid, organised sort of formation that they had. That's where I think it would have been different, and that's perhaps where, you know, maybe he would have taken one of those chances. I mean, Hemed had a header from a Lockyer cross, maybe a Hemed on form, or a Lyle Taylor currently, maybe would have taken that. In the end, I think it got deflected wide. I think that's the only way I could have seen there being a bit of a difference. But, you know, when Lyle Taylor's in your team, goals can come from nowhere sometimes as well.
I was thinking about it yesterday on the way home, and could we have done things differently? Could we have approached the game differently? Could we have, could the lineup have changed differently? And I was actually thinking maybe that was a game for Darren Pratley. You know, the hard physical game, especially in the first half, where you have to compete and try and make your mark on the game, especially when the teams come to defend like that and be physical like that. And I actually think maybe if with Darren Pratley in the starting lineup, maybe we wouldn't have conceded as much possession as we did. Especially for the goal, maybe, you know, would Darren Pratley have stopped that guy going through? Almost certainly, even if it was with a foul. So, but it's all ifs and buts, isn't it? I mean, we can't be overly critical, I don't think. We've lost the game; it's not great. And but you know, you look around the table. Swansea lost to Forest, and we spanked Forest. So, I think it's going to be that type of season. You know, I mean, I think if we carry on winning 4, drawing 2, losing 1. I'll be happy with that. Even if we then go on winning 2, drawing 4, losing 1, I'll be happy with that.
It's kind of a weird thing. It's quite a nice position to be in, to be frustrated with our first defeat of the season. This, you know, we're in September. You know, we this is the Championship. It's not like we were thrashed off the park yesterday against a Birmingham City team who probably sit around mid-table. They've had a good start to the season, actually, Birmingham overall, in terms of points. I mean, we heard Brian Dick here on Thursday show saying perhaps they haven't put in the best performances, but you know, they did this to Brentford on the opening day as well. They went away from home, and we did say
I'd say they did a better job on Brentford than they did on us, because they absolutely battered Brentford absolutely battered them, whereas they didn't even give us the chance. So I'd say that they performed better against us than they did against Brentford.
Well, another player who came in yesterday, of course, is Erin Otzuma. And again, this is something we predicted on Thursday, perhaps, you know, because Johnny Williams had played twice with Wales, Erin needs his minutes. But we also know I'm certain I'm pronouncing his name wrong, by the way. But we also know that, I mean, he's a quality player. But yesterday, as you mentioned, the space that we exploited against Forest when they came out to play a bit of football against us and we just pressed them off the park and then played some glorious stuff, I mean, that wasn't there yesterday against Birmingham City. And that's where Erin would have been at his best. We saw him coming deep a couple of times. He tried a few things. There was a nice bit where there was a dummy from him, and then almost immediately after that, a bit of a drag back as well that looked quite tidy. But it wasn't really his game yesterday. Didn't really open up for him, and he wasn't quite able to do what he'd want to do. Again, when he's a bit fitter, then maybe...
Yeah, granted, but I think, again, you've got to give Birmingham credit for that. And I think, yes, you're right. He did that sort of dummy over the ball and then went for the return, and that looked really, you know, really special. But there were a couple of times when, not just him, you had Ostermer do it and Gallagher try and do it, and the likes of Suncic or... who was the one that should have got sent off? Davis. Or even Dean coming out of centre-half would stop the runner, would just block him off, because they were clever at that. They, you know, they just blocked the runner, so there wasn't anybody there for that return ball, and we had to go backwards. So they were very clever at doing that, Birmingham yesterday. You've got to give them credit for that. As I said, I think the referee probably should have pulled him up for a foul and maybe shown some yellow cards earlier on, and maybe they would have stopped, had to stop doing it a bit later. But yeah, they, you know, we just got to hold our hands up and say they were clever enough and stopped us doing what we're good at.
I think Williams made a bit of a difference when he came on.
Definitely, both Williams coming on and Chuck Sonike coming on opened the game up a little bit. Chuck's is obviously that physical presence, and he did hold the ball up well and actually took him on. And then Johnny Williams with that busy style of his. We started to open them up a little bit, and we had our best chances, I thought, after they came on. To a lesser extent, Baram Kyle, who just couldn't get his range, could he? I mean, he obviously thinks the valley's about 500 yards wide. Bless him. But, you know, look, you can't criticise him overly for that. That's what is it, his first appearance in a Charlton shirt.
Yeah, again, first minutes of the season in a Charlton shirt. Again, he had a couple of appearances for Israel during the international break. So getting those minutes up, and like I say, he came on, he overhit a couple of crosses, and it was probably, again, still finding his feet. You mentioned those chances. Good work down the left, I think, from Gallagher. Ended up falling to Purrington, squaring for Solly. So I was thinking, if anyone was to score yesterday, Chris Solly, having never scored at the Valley on the 100th anniversary, would have been a nice one. But Lee Camp saved well there. And then barely a minute later, it was from Gallagher, low shot from the edge of the air, which, again, on another day, he hits that ever so slightly further into the corner, and maybe it drills past the keeper.
Or scuffs it.
Yeah, or it gets deflected, as we saw with that Baron Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, pretty much every deflection or every ricochet ball went to a blue shirt yesterday. It was frustrating.
And one of them came from a blue shirt on the touchline, so there we go. So bit of a frustrating start. But, I mean, overall, you know, it was the first defeat of the season. It's a season that... Again, and I'll keep saying this, in pre-season we were being told that we were going to struggle to compete financially, we weren't going to have a squad, you know, we've put together a squad, and we are competing in games. Like I say, we didn't get thrash yesterday, we didn't get played off the park, wasn't our best performance, but we were in the game, and we could have got something if one of those chances had gone through. I mean, let's put things into perspective here, it's our first defeat of the season.
Yeah, I think the actual defeat yesterday, as bad as it is, it's probably not the thing we want to focus on now. It's how we react to that. I know we've got some tough fixtures coming up. Well, they all are in the Championship, of course. We've got Wigan, then we've got Leeds, then we've got Swansea. So, I mean, if you look, and then Fulham straight after that. So, you look at that, it makes Wigan quite an important game because, you know, both Leeds, Swansea, to a lesser extent Fulham, but certainly Leeds and Swansea are flying high. So,
Fulham at home are incredible as well.
Exactly. So, you know, they're going to be three really tough games. So if you look at those fixtures and think, well, if we can get, I don't know, even 5 points out of that, I'd be reasonably chuffed. If you'd have said at the beginning of the season, you know, we were looking at that to get 5 points out, you think, I don't know, maybe three. So, but the way we're playing and the reaction to that, of course, how long Lyle's going to be out maybe a factor, but we've got to deal with that. And the issue there is, if we can't win, don't lose.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And I think if you're going to look at yesterday in any real disappointment, is that if we weren't going to win, we shouldn't have lost.
But we did lose.
And we did.
Never mind. I mean, how often are we going to see? Because I just wonder if Birmingham were probably the first team to come to the Valley and play like that. Is that fair to say?
I think all
the other three sides, who, you know, obviously we beat Stoke, we beat Brentford, and we got a draw against Forest, although we battered them, really. They're the first team to come and play. I just wonder if teams are just starting to know a little bit more about us now, because, we were an unknown quantity at the start of the season. Now they know that at home we can actually play a bit, and they're here to come and stop it now.
I think it's a testament to us and the way we played in Lee Bowyer, the way Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson have set the team up, that you know, teams have already looked at us and thought, we've got to stop them playing to beat us. I don't see Leeds... the likes of Fulham and Swansea doing that. I don't see that they've got that type of game in them for a start. Well, maybe Leeds to possibly, but I think they want to play football and they'll want to come and beat us. So that may be better for us. You know, teams who are a little bit more open, a size that you know, we can exploit the areas. It depends how cute they are, I guess, and how desperate they are not to lose. So if they look in the way Birmingham did and think, well, the only way we're going to beat this lot is to stop them playing, then we might have to put up with that.
Yeah, I'm obviously getting a bit ahead of ourselves here, but that Fulham game away is going to be interesting because they do what we did against Forest. So apparently yesterday they were passing West Brom off the pitch. Obviously we know that, what, 85% possession they had against Millwall. Be interesting when we go there and we play our defensive game, which we know we can as well. So getting ahead of ourselves, have something to look.
Well, the onus is on them at home. I mean, the two Wigan at home. The onus is on Wigan to come at us. You wouldn't expect Birmingham to play like that at St Andrews. I'd be very surprised if they did. We'll see, of course. But you wouldn't expect Wigan to play in that style in their own place. So. You know, in that respect, therefore, it should allow us to exploit a bit more space.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds' time. But don't forget, I want to know what you guys made of yesterday's performance. I want to know what you made of Lee Bowyer sending off, how you think we'll get on without Lyle Taylor. What did you make of the new boy, Barham Kyle, yesterday, or Tom Ahmed, who got his first start up top? All of those things. And also, don't forget, we're asking you for funny instances of gamesmanship. So, obviously, Birmingham threw the ball onto the pitch yesterday while to waste a bit of time. And whilst I was rightly fuming at full-time, the further we get into the season, I will start laughing at that because it is reasonably funny at cheating. So other instances of that, Terry City said he's got one as well, so we'll hear from him. I've got a couple that I've written down, and a few of you have tweeted in with some ones as well. So if you've got any of those, email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show to have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. Now, Terry spoke to Lee Bowyer yesterday, and this is what the Addicts boss had to say after yesterday's home defeat against Birmingham City.
Joined by Lee Bowyer in the studio after first defeat of the season, Lee. Not the occasion for it to happen, but we just didn't seem to be able to cope with Birmingham's physical approach, I guess. Is that fair, or do you see it differently?
I wouldn't say they're physical. I think it was just the way they play. I think they're very solid. They've got a certain way of playing. They sit deep. They ask you questions, whether you can break them down or not, whether you can create chances or not. And I think we did. I think we created enough chances to win the game. Was it the best we've played this season? No. But you have to give Birmingham credit. They made it difficult for us. That's what they've done every game that I've watched them playing. You score the first goal, then the game changes completely. But unfortunately for us, that didn't happen today. But I won't knock the lads. They give me everything again. They tried, they pushed to the end. But unfortunately, if you don't take your chances, you don't win games, and that's what happened to us today.
And it sort of had that shape about it, the way you know, the chances were going to be few and far between, but when they came, we just couldn't take them, we didn't seem to have the fluidity in that respect.
No. And like I said, when you create chances in this division especially, you have to take them, because for sure, whoever you're playing against, they will take them if they get chances. So that's what let us down today. I thought defensively, I thought we coped with them well. They're a big, strong, physical side. Long throws, set pieces, everything goes forward. And I thought we dealt with them well. Their worry for me was when the ball's wide and crosses, and their striker's very, very good in the air. Pulls to the back post, and I thought we dealt with it really well today. So for me, we limited them, but we just couldn't take our chances, and that's a disappointing thing for me.
Slightly frustrating that it certainly appeared from the sideline that they scored, but their only real bit of football they played all game that didn't involve a free kick or a throw-in.
Yeah, right back. He caused us problems, but the one time he skipped inside and it made it difficult for us, but yeah. End up scoring, young lad, I scored again. So yeah, it's just hard to take, you know, like you work so hard and you nullify what they're good at, and but you have to take your chances. I'll say that every single week. If you don't take chances, you're not going to win games, and we didn't. And they took one that they had, and we didn't take none of ours, and thought we deserved at least a draw.
last quarter of the game, you made your subs and they did, certainly made a difference, and we were battering, certainly knocking at the door on Birmingham's defence. Just again, didn't sit for us, didn't drop for us. We've said it on a number of occasions in previous seasons where certain games where ricochets always seem to go to the other side, and yeah, happened in abundance today.
Yeah, but that's all you can do is keep pushing and keep trying, and unfortunately today they didn't drop for us, but at least we're trying to do the right things, you know, and we're trying to play the right way. But again, I think we had enough chances to win. One of their fellas clears one off the line, and we have to gamble more in the box, you know. We have to gamble and try and anticipate what's going to happen, and that, we just didn't seem to do that today too much. So which is disappointing, because we've done enough to win the game. I honestly believe that, but it's a ruthless league, you know, and we'll learn from it, and we'll come back next week. I've said to the players, like, look, be disappointed, I'm disappointed, but just make sure it don't happen again next week. We have to come back stronger.
On the subject of learning curve, it was something that was mentioned earlier, was that if this is going to happen, and we're going to come up against sides like this a lot, I guess, in the Championship, is this a learning curve good enough, you know, better to happen now, slightly earlier in the season, so you get that learning curve out of the way, so you know what to expect from a player point of view?
I think they know, like, they're playing in it every week, and they see the quality. You can see the quality, the power, the strength, their pace, the quality that the players they're playing against this year on the ball is completely different, you know. So they know, they're not stupid, but yeah, it's probably not a bad thing that we've had a defeat now, and because sometimes you can become complacent and think that it's just going to be a walk in the park. So yeah, you could look at it like that, but obviously we just want to win every game. That's the way we are.
But teams like Birmingham are going to do their homework on our better players, our creative players, and they seem to do that. They try and nullify them as much as possible, two or three men around them all the time.
Yeah, but that's Birmingham, though. It's not just us. They've done that to every team that they've played. They've just been difficult. They go into a mid to low block and they just sit there and say, come and break us down. So it's not just us. They've done that to everyone that I've watched. I've watched 3-4 games of theirs this season, and they've been exactly the same. Whether they play 3 at the back, 4 at the back, it's still the same. So, yeah, it was just for us to break them down, and we create chances, but we didn't take them, and that's where we fell short.
You're not going to come across too many games this season where both sets of fans are singing your name. Maybe there might be one more to come, but that must be a bit weird.
Yeah, strange, yeah. Nice. Like, obviously, I had 2.5 years at Birmingham, and won the only trophy I won as a player was there. So, yeah, we shared a good moment together. So, yeah, I think they appreciated the hard work that I put in every week as a player, and they showed that today, which is nice, you know. I don't get that too many times, I can tell you.
So, I can imagine.
So yeah, so today it was nice, but yeah, so I'm grateful for that.
Injury front, Lyle Taylor obviously not figuring today. Do you know yet how long that might be?
No, I don't know time wise, but it's going to be he's going to miss a run of games now. I was hoping it wasn't going to be too bad, but he's had a scan and that ring, and it's not come back too good. So yeah, we're going to have to have a rethink and rejuggle, and that's why we've put a squad together. Yeah, we missed him today. That's obvious. When your main striker who gets 20 odd goals and double figure assists in the season, then he was on fire as well this season. Of course, you're going to miss him, but like I said, we still created today, and we still played well enough to win the game. So, going to miss him, but it's an opportunity for someone else to step in.
Can't let the interview pass, I guess, without mentioning the what happened near the end. Strange refereeing decisions, quite a bit of the game, but came to a head towards the end when you got your marching orders.
Yeah, because for me, the 26 should have been sent off. He'd been booked for an occasion with Pierce, and then 2 minutes later he takes out, I think it was Conor Gallagher or Josh, one of the two. They just skipped past him and he just blatantly took him out, and when we're inside their half. going to be running at the back four, somebody's blatant yellow card of the whole game, and then he don't send him off. Okay, I'm not saying it because I want to see him sent off, but that's the rules. You can't just change the rules when it suits. So that's disappointing. But yeah, regarding myself, they throw a ball on, which I've never seen before in a game. Like, it's crazy. Throw a ball on to waste time, and then the ball ends up next to me. And then I think the ref's dealing with whatever's going on off regarding their bench. And then I've got the ball, so I'm walking towards their bench, and I look down on their bench and say, "Is this your ball?" And they say, "Yeah." So I throw it back to them. And then he says, "Lee, you threw it. I've got to send you off because you threw it in an aggressive manner outside the technical area." Like, what's that's not a rule. You just make that up. So I don't get it. I said, "Who said I threw it back aggressively?" I said, "It's 20 yards away. How else am I going to get it there? I've got to throw it hard." And then he said, the fourth official. I don't even think he was looking. I think he was dealing with whatever was going on with regarding them for the ball going on in the first place. I don't know. It's crazy. It just seems like they made it up to me.
A culmination of some of the stick that the fourth official was getting because of the performance of the referee on the pitch, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's disappointing, you know. Obviously, you should be able to appeal it. Like, it's crazy. I never even heard such a thing. So, yeah.
Do you know what that will mean for you? Is it a touchline ban?
I'll appeal it. Yeah. Like, he's 20 yards away. I've got to throw it hard to get it there. Or if I could have kicked it. So, do I kick it in an aggressive manner? It's crazy. Just making rules up. It just don't make sense. I don't know. I don't know why they've said that.
Strange end to what was a strange game in the end. But, yeah. Still second, I believe, with the results going the way they were. So
could have been top. They lost Swansea. Yeah, just the reality of it. We could have been top, and that's why it's so disappointing. A game that I think we done enough to win, we come away with nothing, and we could have been top. But 39 to go.
Reality check, and then back to it at Wigan.
Yeah. We prepare and work hard Monday onwards, and we'll have to get ready for Wigan and another one to come and go.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's done.
Yeah! Oh, it's in!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo!
Dreamland!
Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it all!
Get in!
Come on!
What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening or via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Hit the subscribe button in your Acast app or in your iTunes app, and it will download to your phone twice a week automatically. If you listen online, don't worry, just via the website, you don't have to subscribe because there's no way to. But if you're on your phone, make sure you subscribe. Get our show on your phone twice a week. I don't think I'll ever tire of hearing Lee Bowyer trying to say that he didn't throw the ball. I mean, it is quite funny. Come on.
Oh no, and it'll get funnier as the months progress, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't think Lee finds it that funny. I'm sure he won't. But I'd be very interested to know how we're going to appeal that.
Yeah,
I mean, if we will.
I mean, it reminds me of when Lyle Taylor got sent off against Accrington Stanley last season. Now, the reason he was sent off because the referee thought he saw Lyle Taylor kick one of their players or the goalkeeper. Yeah. I can't remember which one it was. Now, you watch the video back and there is Lyle Taylor's on the floor and there's a flick of the boot trying to get the players off. Now, if the referee said he's seen a kick and there is a form of kick, no matter how soft it was, the referee doesn't overturn his decision. It's going to be the same with the throw. He says he saw an aggressive throw of the ball. There is an overarm throw towards the midriff of a Birmingham City staff member who is maybe, 20 yards away. I mean, that if Bowyer had sort of underarm lobbed it up towards him, it'd be a different story.
I don't know whether the defence will be that particular Birmingham City official had quite a large midriff, so it doesn't matter where he threw it, it was always going to be close.
But
I don't know. The only thing I can think of, because look, he threw it, he knew he threw it. He says he threw it hard because he had to get it to the distance it needed to carry, which is probably true. Well, no, it is true. Of course it's true. The fact that it was in the direction of could be an issue. And whether there is that rule in the first place. If there is that rule, then we're going to struggle. The other thing I think is, and we witnessed it, as you mentioned, with the Lyle Taylor sending off, I don't know if it's the EFL or the FA. I don't know who makes these decisions, actually, on the sendings off. Is it the FA?
Presumably the FA.
Yeah. They will look for every reason possible to uphold the refereeing decision.
Yeah.
And they will only overturn it if they can't. If they exactly. see any particular reason to uphold the referee's decision, then you've got no chance.
Mm.
Even if it's as spurious as the reason Lyle Taylor got sent off.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, that is what's going to happen, 100%. Right, don't forget, we wanted to know what you guys made of yesterday's performance. Tom Ahmed, Baram Kyle's performances on there, or first start or first appearance in that order. Or you've got the fact that Bayou was sent off. We want to know about that, what we're going to be able to do without Lyle Taylor. And we were also asking for your favourite memories of other instances of gamesmanship, because we saw quite a big one there from Birmingham City. Yeah, so Terry, have you
got
your
one? Yeah, it was Nicky Weaver when Man City, when he was in goal for Man City, and they'd rather fortuitously gone ahead, as I remember. And there were minutes left, not many minutes left. And he got the ball in his penalty area and then dribbled it from side to side of either side of the penalty area. So he just dribbled the ball backwards and forwards until one of our players, I can't remember who it was, actually went and tried to close him down. And then he did this sort of wavy stuff at the covered end afterwards. It's the one time I've really been tempted to run on the pitch. And I was gutted when we signed him.
Yeah.
Absolutely gutted.
Well, luckily
he
turned out to be rubbish. So.
Well, yeah, that helped.
That showed him and us, unfortunately. Right, so let's get involved then with the tweets. Cliff Scales says, it was not the best game, but Birmingham are the first team we have played that came to defend and get 10 men behind the ball. And they did it very well. If we score first, it's a different game, but they nicked a goal and we just couldn't break them down. It's still a great start for us, and now we need to go again at Wigan. I thought Bowyer's red card was a joke. The ref seemed to enjoy doing it. I don't know if we can appeal it, but it would probably stand anyway. Yeah, there is always that little thing with a ref. It's like they do seem to love their job too much.
He had that smug look on his face when he did it. There's a photograph of him doing it, and he doesn't look disappointed at all. And I think I said it off air. I think the fact that, Davis, who should have been sent off just before that, and I'm pretty sure Lee Bowyer would have let the fourth official know in probably the most colourful language imaginable that it was a bad decision.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that played a part.
Yeah, so the fourth official was a bad grass, is what we're saying.
Absolutely, no question about it.
I bet he used to tell on you at school and stuff. Yeah. Right, The Wave tweets in, disappointed that Chucks Anike did not start after impressing as a sub at Reading. Hemed looked rusty and did not gel with Lecco up front. It says Macaulay Bond must have been fitter as well. Thought Prattley would have dealt with a physical Birmingham much better than Phil, which is similar to what you said, actually, Tell.
Yep.
And then he says, is it time to use Lecco as a super wild card sub? So we'll come to that last point first. I mean, Lecco started. He has tended to be a very creative player for us, a bit of an unknown quantity, surprising sometimes. Do you think he'd be better suited from the bench? Just, I mean, you have one more quiet game yesterday. Is it too soon to say that?
Yeah, I think it's too soon. I think I'd start him. I'd have to say, the previous point about Chucks and Ike is a fair one, I think. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, though, isn't it? And in hindsight, yes, you're starting Chucks, because he did seem to liven things up when he come on. I don't know. Against the tiring Birmingham side, would he have had the same impact at the beginning? I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, theoretically, yes. But I think I'd still start Lecco because of his pace. Regardless of when it might be. Problem is, if you start Macaulay Bonn, which would have been our only other option, he's still a bit raw. Is it fair to throw him in at that sort of game? He'd probably got beaten up by Harley Dean and the other fella. Was it Roberts?
So, yeah, Mark Roberts.
I think that would have been unfair on Macaulay Bonn as well. And therefore, you know, we wouldn't have had any chance at all and possibly would have surrendered possession a bit more than we did even then. So, you know, we could have been 2-0 down. By the time Jonathan Lecco comes on, then it's pointless.
Daniel Trafin says that Lee Bega's red card was a disgrace. And Tony out in Spain says, we weren't at our best yesterday, but the referee was all over the place. He missed so many decisions and most of them were in front of him. The sending off was pathetic. Fair play to Birmingham manager for having a go at his staff for throwing the ball on the pitch. Yeah, Tony not agreeing with the red card for Boya there either. Richard says, Hemed needs a run in the side, in my opinion. Him, Kyle and Ostuma all look like players who haven't played much football recently. I'm not sure the time is right for Bonn because Lyle Taylor's boots are big ones to fill, especially for someone who has never played anywhere near championship level. I mean, with Bonn, we saw him came on at Barnsley. You weren't at that game. And did okay, sort of got the ball in spaces without really doing too much with it. I mean,
you get the feeling if we'd assigned Tamer Hemed earlier, Macaulay Bonn would have gone out on loan. The fact that it took so long to get it across the line meant that we couldn't afford to do that.
I mean, Boya sort of said he would have sent him out. He thought he could have sent him out on loan, but he thought he might learn more being coached
by
our coaches.
I think that, and that's fair. I'm watching Hemed and Chuck Sanika and Lyle Taylor at close quarters. He's possibly right. You've got to understand, you know, he's come from the National League. And that's a huge step up. And as exciting a prospect as he is, you don't want to ruin that. And I think what we have learnt over the last few years with Boya, Jackson and Gallen is that they don't tend to expose players unnecessarily to, you see young players come in and then you don't see them play 7 or 8 games on a spin. They rest them because they know what it's like to play and they know that burnout can happen. And I think that's refreshing, and I'm pleased about it, to be fair.
Yeah. Rag says that both Kyle and Hemed need more minutes on the pitch. Yeah. Fred says we're going to miss Lyle Taylor badly. He is very crucial to us. Reese says, sadly, the less said about both their performances in Hemed and Kyle, the better. Hemed, totally anonymous. Kyle had two horribly overhit crosses and made no positive impact. Not going to judge them too much on their first game, though, but we need to see an improvement. Charlie says that Hemed was dreadful. Hopefully his worst performance for us because we don't have any other options. Bonn is still way off the mark. Enike was awful and Lecco isn't the greatest up front. Better on the wing taking players off. I mean, Enike, I like Enike. I would have started him yesterday. I said that on Thursday. I think there's been two performances now where he's come off the bench and it hasn't quite been the explosive performance we were hoping for, and that was probably yesterday in Forest at home. But overall, I thought he was brilliant when he came on at Barnsley.
I thought he did okay yesterday when he came on.
Redding, he was brilliant.
I think he came on in difficult circumstances, but I thought he did okay. And maybe if it had been on from the start with his physical approaches, he would have been a lot more up and at him than Tamer Hemed. And I think even with Tamer Hemed, it's a tough one. And I think people are right. You know, the fans are right when they're getting in touch and saying that it's early, it's still early days, and especially with Kyle, I mean, you can't judge him on that because you know it's the first 10 minutes he's played in anger for us. But I think the game sort of passed Tamer Hemed by, and they dealt with him. They dealt with the two centre halves dealt with him really well, as they did with Lecco. But I say it again, I don't think you can just isolate the two front players and say they're not playing well enough when the supply to them wasn't there. We didn't play in any way near the way we've done in the opening games of the season by bringing them into the game quickly with the pass and move, and then opening up defences. We couldn't do that yesterday, so therefore they were a bit isolated up there and square. There were very few runs into the channels because we weren't getting the ball out there. And when we did get the ball out there, Birmingham closed us down, so we had to come back in the middle again. So I think it's a little harsh. I don't disagree with the fact that they didn't perform. 100%, you know, the facts speak for themselves. But there were reasons for it. And I think to justify or to judge them on the fact that, you know, they didn't get the service they would normally be expected to get, is possibly a little harsh, maybe.
Yeah. Steph says, Terry, there's another great interview. Thank you. It's clear to hear Bo's passion and frustration. Let's hope the EFL see sense and revoke the red card. But I won't.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. Yeah, breath.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, right. John says, I thought Brum.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Were the most League One type team we've faced. Thought we moved the ball too slowly, though. Yeah. Never mind. The run had to end sometime. The only good thing about a run ending, though, is that the next one starts
exactly
next week. Chrissy says, it didn't stick up top yesterday. If Roland was a normal owner, he might get the message that he's worth an improved contract, even though he's out for the next few weeks. Do you think Roland might suddenly get that message?
No.
Tom Wallion, our very own Tom, is out and about today, says, disjointed and out of sorts yesterday. Birmingham defended well. To play that badly and only lose 1-0 isn't too concerning. Looking forward to seeing Hemed get a run of games now. I said the Boya sending off was bizarre.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Bizarre's about right, yeah.
Yeah. And Reese sort of added, yeah, don't think it's fair to throw Bond straight in. Yesterday made me appreciate and realise how important Taylor is, yeah. To be honest. I'm not seeing much in Lecco. Very hit and miss. Anike, certainly not anything special. Definitely need a couple more of them to step up and make more impact. I wasn't surprised about those comments on both those players, really, because I've seen Lecco create chances. I've seen Anike play well, better than yesterday.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think there were a couple of times yesterday where Jonathan got into position, and you expect him, you know, you would have hoped he would bring other players into play. There was one particular time where he could have played it right. I think Josh Cullen, it was, to his right, was in a better position, but he went and shot himself. And I don't blame him for shooting for himself. He's a striker, that's what they're supposed to do. But laying in Josh Cullen, I think it was, to his right, may have ended with a goal because Cullen was clear.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
But he's raw. He's a raw talent, and that's why we got him on loan, because if he was that good, West Brom wouldn't let him go, would they? So, you know, he's got to learn. I think he's an exciting player. I really do think he's an exciting player. Is he going to play at the top-notch level of performance every week? Probably not. And that's why we've got him.
Yeah, there you go. Right, Jake Wilkes says, thought we missed Taylor's work rate yesterday. Besides his goal, he covers every blade, and we didn't get that from Hemed or Anike. Purrington seemed off the boil, but credit to a very organised and resolute Birmingham for being disciplined. Peter Barrett says, Hemed looked isolated and Kyle not enough minutes to judge, but he looked a tidy player. We need to see a bit more of him. Right, Gavin says, evening lads, I think it was one of you guys that advised us not to go on Twitter after a defeat, and how right you were. Yeah, that's Nathan's mantra. He never looks at his phone after a defeat. He says, we lacked this, we lacked that, so and so was poor, just not good enough. It really wasn't that bad. Chill out, we lost 1-0. It happens. It certainly does. Ollie says, just to say, it was disappointing, and we need to find another way to score goals without Lyle being in the fold, or we will fall down the table. Martin Lee says, we'll struggle without Lyle Taylor. London Innigeezer says, I wasn't there, but missed Taylor, so we'll have to get someone in to replace him after he leaves in December. In the meantime, I try Bon until Taylor's back. He can't do any worse than I heard Hemed was yesterday, and we can't afford to leave Williams on the bench if he's fit. Yeah, I mean, with the Williams situation, I mean, like I say, I predicted it on Thursday. We know with Williams' fitness, he hasn't played too many 90 minutes over the course of the last few years, although he's starting to get more and more of those. But we have got two players who it sort of makes sense to keep them rotating when they can be as good as they were. But obviously, it wasn't not Zuma's best performance yesterday, and Williams came on and made a bit of a difference. But it's about, I guess, trying to keep a player who hasn't always had the best luck with fitness fresh for as long as possible.
Well, I think that's you know, if he hadn't played two games in the international break, he may have started. I don't know, but probably yes. But I think again, I'd sound like a broken record a bit, but if you realise the way Birmingham was set up and the way Birmingham played us and nullified the likes of Osthuma and Gallagher at times and Josh Cullen, they would have done exactly the same thing to Williams. When did Johnny Williams come on?
It was 60 minutes, pretty much.
So he had 25 minutes ish, half an hour to play against a slightly tiring Birmingham midfield. So there was more space for him to exploit, and he did, and he played quite well. Would he have had the same momentum and ability to exploit those spaces against Birmingham at the beginning? Not so sure. Don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? Yeah. But you can understand that why. Because Osthuma was outstanding against Forest. Absolutely outstanding. And so if the Osthuma that we saw against Forest did exactly the same thing yesterday against Birmingham, or was allowed to, then we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we? So they're both quality players. We've just got to, sometimes you just got to hold your hand up and say they played as well. And would they have played Williams the same way? Possibly.
Right, Dino in Tesco tweets in saying, I'm disappointed. I wonder if that's a nickname. Like, you've got Mendonca and Asda's on the forum. I wonder if Dino in Tesco is something similar to that.
We need the others represented. We need like Sainsbury's and Morrison's.
I saw Kishishev in Sainsbury's in Bromley when I used to work there. I'll change my username to Kishishev in Sainsbury's. But,
I'm trying to think if I saw anybody in Fortnum and Mason's.
No. You've never been in there.
No, I don't know.
The only person you saw in there was a security guard saying, sir, you're making a scene. Right.
You don't belong here.
Dino says, I'm disappointed, but I'm kind of glad that we've got the loss out of the way, as we all knew it was coming. But it's just the manner of the loss that frustrated me. Don't get me started on the bow you're sending off. It was an utter joke. Dino in Tesco then invites me to scroll down his timeline for his true feelings on Boya sending off, but he says I might need someone with the bleep button on hand whilst we're on air, so maybe I won't. Sebo's got involved. I know Sebo was might have needed the bleep button after the game yesterday, according to his apology on Facebook for having a go at the referee. We've all been there, Sebo. We certainly have. He says that if Bo has to have an away day at the FA as a result of the ball throw, I hope whoever from Birmingham said it was their ball goes along to defend Boya. I say that's unlikely.
Yeah, so do I here. Extremely.
Yeah, Richard Justin says, disappointed in Field, Sam Field. I felt he should have stopped the goal. Why was Prattley rested? No midweek game. So we've seen that in our last couple of games. Field started ahead of Prattley. I mean, Prattley's been very good this season, but Field's played well at times as well. But obviously, we felt we perhaps could have done better with a goal yesterday.
I think not just him, but yeah, I tend to agree. It was Field who sort of allowed him to run past him. Maybe he was quite out of position a bit as well. But I do tend to agree with that. But it's not just Field. I mean, Colin, wasn't it, who ran through, went past two or three players. It wasn't just Sam Field. I do tend to agree that I think Prattley might have had a better, might have been able to handle that physical Birmingham side better. So, again, in hindsight, you would have put Prattley in, I think.
This last one's just come in from 100% Charlton. At home against teams like Birmingham, we need to go back to the Diamonds with two up top.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but as I said, I don't think we lost it up top. I think we lost it in the midfield battle. We didn't compete enough, and I think I'd have been tempted, if you're going to have fluid changes, once that started to happen, I'd have actually bolstered that midfield a little bit more, and just especially in the second half, after seeing what happened in the first, to stop them doing what they did to score the goal, because they were stopping us playing. And as I said earlier, if you can't win, just don't lose. And stop them playing in midfield as freely as they did. Having said that, though, they only did it once. You know, and the rest of the time, it was all long balls into the corners and long balls up to the big fella and see if they could win the drop downs. And I thought, for the most part, we dealt with that pretty well. They didn't really threaten. Jakovic had that one chance, especially in the first half, I think it was, which brought out the Dylan Phillips save. But generally speaking, we dealt with that high ball, and I thought Lockyer and Pierce dealt with that reasonably well. So the only one time they played football, maybe it caught us by surprise, I don't know, is when they scored.
Yeah, there we go. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back in 30 seconds or so to continue with your views on this evening's show.
Inside of him, but he goes. He does get fine field, in fact. Now up to Gallagher. He can turn here. Finds Lecco. Lecco lets the ball run. Ball in box. Taylor! It's a lovely goal. What a superb move from the Addicts. Controlled, patient, and at the end, absolutely superb. It was Oshilaja who controlled it inside of Gallagher. Finds Lecco on the right. Creates space. Cross ball. Finds the glancing head of Taylor. And Charlton have the lead.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening or via the podcast. Afterwards, quick update on the women's team. It's not a great result again for them today. Beaten 2-0 at home against the London City Lionesses. Quite a few former Charlton players in team as well. Yeah, Liza Juppy. So yeah, three games in, no wins, no goals yet for Ritesh Misra's team.
You lose your two main goal threats from last season, and we're going to struggle if you don't replace them. Mm. And Liza Juppy, who played for Lionesses, and Kit Graham went to Tottenham. The two main goal threats for us last season. And we haven't, looks like anyway. To be fair, I haven't seen them this season, so I don't know.
I went to the first game, and yeah, they're still a team sort of in progress. So hopefully they'll pick up over the course of the next few weeks.
Made a lot of signings in the summer, didn't they? So
yeah.
Hopefully they'll gel, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think it's something along the lines of 14 signings. Right, let's have a look at the Charlton Life Forum. Mendonca and Asda's, a good friend of Dino in Tesco's, as we know. Good evening, gents. One defeat in seven matches is amazing in this division. Lee was right to say we shouldn't get too carried away, but as supporters, who can blame us? The last 5 years until recently have been rubbish. However, yesterday, I didn't think that we looked like scoring a goal in a month of Sundays. Birmingham did a number on us. I felt for the fans and the former players and manager visiting that had to sit through that. I hope Lee Bowyer was able to have a word with Alan Kirbishley and pick up a few tips. Yeah, that was funny, actually. So, obviously, the 100th anniversary and so many legends on the pitch, and a bit of banter between the former Aston Villa players in and amongst the numbers and the Aston Villa team and the Birmingham fans. But, we should touch on that 100th anniversary. It was nice to see the likes of Darren Bent and Alan Kirbishley and Luke Young and some of the players from slightly older generations as well coming back.
Yeah, it was superb. I mean, there were a few notable omissions, but you do wonder, do they have to draw the line somewhere? Because if you bring back everybody's favourite player, we'd have been there till, well, next Sunday probably.
I don't know what Simon Church was up to.
Well, actually, there we are. I guess the ferry from Norway didn't quite make it either. But it's still nice to see. I mean, there was quite a few from that, my first era. Shall we say, on the pitch, and that was nice.
Just a shame they didn't get the win.
Well, yeah, it's normally I don't know. I'd like to know the record of, because is it the Back to the Valley game we never seem to lose on the December 5th?
Well, but then we lost against Portsmouth on the 25th, didn't we? Yeah. 25th anniversary. So
I don't know what our record is for these sort of noted games.
Yeah, well, our record in most games is bad, so there we go. Mendonca and Asda's continues with a tough run of games coming up, and we have got to learn to win with or without Lyle. Other players simply have to step up if we're going to pick up points. Yesterday was like the equivalent of playing a Midlands Millwall. I hope Birmingham sink without a trace and get relegated. They tried every trick in the book to con the ref, and said, don't get me started on the ref either.
They are known as a Millwall and the Midlands, to be fair. It's not the first time they've been tagged as that.
I actually have quite a few sort of acquaintances who support Birmingham purely because of a chance meeting in a pub. A few years ago, the season we got promoted from League One under Powley, we were due to play Chesterfield on a Saturday, and that game got snowed off. And Birmingham, I think, was supposed to be at Barnsley, and that also got snowed off. And so everyone was looking at the fixtures, like, where's there a game in that area? And we wound up in Sheffield to watch Sheffield United versus Wickham in the Wickham end. And I made loads of friends with loads of Birmingham fans that day. It's just one of those days where I wish I didn't have loads of Birmingham fans yesterday, because I was getting a load of abuse on Twitter, but there we go. Right, Bed Zadok is asking, has Lee Bowyer actually said a few weeks? Yes, they have, for Lyle Taylor. So I've heard it's a much more serious injury than what's being let on. Not that much is being said at all.
It is a worry, because if you remember back, when the injuries aren't that bad, They tend to say, well, no, it could be, you know, not sure about this. We really don't know. But then you see them fairly quickly. If you remember the Vettakelly injury as well, there are very similar sounds coming out of the club as to when Vettakelly got injured. And that concerns me.
I mean, I'd like to say people will try to put a figure on it yesterday. Someone was saying,
I don't even know what it is. Do we know what the injury is?
It's a knee ligament, is what it is, something along those lines. So someone told me a figure yesterday, but then, like I say, there's people who've heard figures from other people. He was saying, he could be out for 4 months.
Well, it depends on
that. I don't think
it does depend on the extent of the ligament injury. Yeah, if it's a strain, then it's weeks.
Yeah.
If it's a tear, then it's months.
Yeah, that's why I'm reluctant to say what someone told me yesterday, because they could be wrong as well. And so I don't want to put too much hope into anyone when it could be worse than what I heard, or it could be better. Like, you don't know. So let's try not to guess until we find out. I mean, Lee Bowyer, I mean, I was half expecting Bowes to still come out and try and play the bit of a mind games, or he might be back next week. When, like I say, on Thursday, I think most people knew he weren't going to be playing Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people perhaps are judging the injury that Lyle might have to injuries I've had themselves. You know, when I was playing back in the day, when I tore my ankle ligaments, I was out for the best part of 6 months. But then back then, you know, the hospitals were pretty much like the same ones out of the Flintstones. so they didn't know how to, well, they didn't know how to fix it. So
didn't
you
even
just
even had hospitals
just
back in those days.
Stick your ankle in plaster and tell you to go home and rest, and that's it. That's all you can do. Whereas now, I think the technology has moved on so much that until you know exactly what the extent of the injury is, there's no point in guessing.
Yeah, but Bed Zadik did add, it's a good job we've got points on the board because Taylor will be extremely hard to replace as he is much more than just a striker. Rodders wants to know what length of ban Sebo will get for his comments to the referee.
Sebo, yeah, good point.
Yeah, hopefully not one, because we want that run to carry on. And then Rodders puts on the forum, rumours doing the rounds that it's 2 or 3 months for Taylor. But for starters, I mean, that's obviously, I mean, it's a rumour.
That's a tear. If it's 2 or 3 months, it's a tear.
There's a month difference between that already. So, I mean, that's also, we don't really know yet. No. So we'll come on to that. As Addicted has got involved as well with some funny moments of gamesmanship, but I'll come on to those stories a bit later on in the show. Right, Danny Hill says, Charlton versus Birmingham. Good evening, lads. Yesterday's performance probably wasn't our best outing, but we have to be realistic. We're going to have ups and downs this season, not just the joys of us winning. We need to bounce back and be ready for the next game. In regards to Taylor, yes, unfortunately, we're without him now for a few weeks, but we're not a one-man team. It's far too early to criticise the likes of Hemed, as that his first 90 minutes he's had in a long time. He isn't 100% fit yet, and probably yet to get this on the same wavelength as everybody else, but that will only come from playing more games. It's only one loss. We've not had 6 in a row. We're still 3rd in the league, remember, far beyond what any of us would have thought was possible at the start of the season. Still plenty more positives to come. Yeah, Leeds' result this afternoon means we have dropped down to 3rd rather than 2nd, which is still, you know, you're still going to be happy with it. I mean, talking about there was that thread yesterday. People said, are we a one-man team? Now, if you judging by the panic that everyone had going before the game and Taylor's going to be out for a while, you'd think we are. But we have got goals in the team elsewhere.
But one thing you have to remember is, by the way, is that we are set up to play with Lyle up front. Right now, the earliest time we would have known that Lyle isn't available to play up front would have been what, Wednesday?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Something along those lines. Yeah.
So you've got from Thursday to Saturday to organise something different, and with all due respect, that may not be possible. You know, if you're geared up to play a certain way, to then change that. Now, all right, you say, well, they're professional footballers, they should be able to do it, and I maybe tend to agree. But if you're geared to play a certain way and then you have to change it quickly, maybe that has an effect, and it'd be interesting to see, assuming Lyle's out next week, which we're expecting to be the case, we've got a week to work on a different way of playing with a different player up top, and maybe we'll see a better reaction because of it. Be interesting anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see as the course of the season goes on. Right, cheers for email. Danny Marcus gets involved. All right, fellas, I think with Taylor being sidelined, we need to bring Kyle into the midfield and just go to one-man striker, potentially being Anike or Hemed. We need our midfield to chip in with some goals now, with some big games coming up. I mean, yeah, because Bowyer did say in your interview, actually, that he's now going to have to rethink about how we're going to play. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the suggestion from Marcus here, a possibility that we change the style, we decide which player is going to be the focal point. I mean, again, like you said, there's a week to work on it now. There's a week to find out what would work best, and for Bowyer to decide which one of these, you know, Anike or Hemed probably be the main choices, could be our focal point, you know, going forward.
Yeah, and again, it will depend on the teams we're playing against as well, I suppose. Do we put 5 in the midfield, just 1 up front? Do we have a number 10 behind and do the back to the diamond? It's a possibility. It'd be interesting to see how we manage it and how we handle it, because we have got to change the style in which we play, because we haven't, without Lyle Taylor, we have to play, on the basis of yesterday at least, in a slightly different way.
Yeah, Bob Liscombe. Evening, chaps. Unfortunately, I can't listen live, but wondered if you agree that Bowyer has a very good case if he appeals against his sending off. It was 100% the wrong decision. Bob's looking forward to the podcast later, where Terry's going to say he doesn't agree with him.
a lot will depend on whether or not there is actually a law that says you're throwing the ball in the direction of is a sending off offence. And I'm not. I don't know if it is. I don't know.
I think it could be classified as some form of, aggression or unsporting conduct or
unsporting conduct, but that's a yellow card. It's not a red.
Yeah, but throwing the ball at someone is that much different from throwing a punch if you throw it overarm?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, obviously it's different from throwing a punch. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's different, but it's still an aggressive action. Throwing the ball, like I say, if they lobbed it up into the air. If Bowyer called him a nasty name, that's surely a yellow card. But there we go. Right, Steve Hearn emails in. Evening, Steve. Disappointed yesterday. Pep Clotet got his tactics spot on. Birmingham did a number on us, as Charlton have done themselves to teams in the last few months. And let's face it, we've had a lot of jam on our bread recently as supporters, so we must accept a bit of fish paste now and again. I like fish paste.
Perfect analogy.
We go again next week. We have the squad to stay in this division, although Taylor missing was very noticeable yesterday. Certainly was, Steve. Thank you for your email. We're going to have another quick break. When we come back, we are now going to talk about our favourite moments of gamesmanship coming in to the game. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Bringing the ball forward, short, good challenge from Cullen, wins it back for Chong, can it come to Williams? Williams dives in, gets the ball, Williams on his feet, on a run, Williams, ball inside to Gallagher, it's good, Gallagher shooting chance, Gallagher scores! A whip chance, first short goal, the Addicts take the lead, all down to the work and the determination of Johnny Williams, inside to Conor Gallagher, whose first touch was great and the finish was excellent, and Chong have an unlikely lead.
Welcome back, it's Charlton Live. We're into the last 10 minutes or so of this evening's show. We've looked back at yesterday's defeat against Birmingham City, our first defeat of the season. Disappointing afternoon in the end, but as everyone says, you know, we go to Wigan next week and we hope to move on. Obviously, the game ended in slightly unsavoury scenes yesterday when Lee Bowyer was sent off for gently handing the ball back to a member of Birmingham City staff. And for some reason, the referee decided to send him off. Now, the reason that happened in the first place was because a Birmingham City member of staff decided to launch an extra football onto the pitch. Why they had a football to hand, we don't know, purely to do this, quite clearly, and wasted a bit of time when Lee Camp was getting ready to take a goal kick. That is gamesmanship at its most blatant, Terry. And so I thought, let's have a bit of fun. You know, we were all wound up about that yesterday. I was fuming at full time, genuinely couldn't speak. I was so annoyed. But I thought, you know, let's remember other times it's happened and it's been funny. So I brought up the example of Paul Dickhoff, which again, so at the time when Paul Dickhoff, as Oldham manager, ran onto the pitch to stop us taking a free kick when we were going in search of a late winner, I was fuming. But now when you look back at it, actually that is quite funny. That's one of those moments that you remember from football. So I was thinking of other examples of when there was a funny bit of gamesmanship. I thought of a couple others. So another one was actually one that I was planning on doing. And this was a game against Southampton a few years ago. We were in the Championship. I think it was the season before we got relegated from the Championship. So me and my brother and a mate had driven down to Southampton and we got there quite early. And I think my brother then was too young to go pubs and stuff. So we were like, what are we going to do for a few hours? And we just happened to be by a JD Sport. And I was like, oh, there's a £3 football there. Let's buy a football and go and have a kickabout on this big expanse of grass there. I thought, if they want to try and take this football off me by the time it's time to go into the ground, wouldn't be the end of the world. I've just wasted £3 for a bit of fun. But then I thought, if they don't take it off me and we're winning 1-0 with 5 minutes left and they're on attack, I was booting that ball onto the pitch. So I can't really argue about the fact that Birmingham did it yesterday.
You don't live in Birmingham, do you?
No. I'm just checking. So that's an example of gamesmanship that I had planned. Another one was not a Charlton game, actually, but a Bromley game. Stood behind the goal as you do at a non-league game, and we were playing Cambridge City, I remember. And and there's always, whenever the ball goes out for a goal kick, there's always a bit of fun. Where, so the ball went out for a goal kick and a Bromley fan behind the ball, behind the goal, had the ball in his hands, beckoned for the goalkeeper to come over because he said, I'm not going to throw it to you. And then when the goalkeeper got it, just threw it over his head, like 20 yards away. And the goalkeeper picked up his water bottle. He like had it in his hand and just sprayed the kid in the face, like for a laugh. And it was funny. But then the referee came over and booked the goalkeeper, at which point I sort of said to everyone, right, if the goalkeeper comes near any of us, everyone just dive and see if we can get him sent off in the crowd. So that's some examples of some gamesmanship. Have you got any more, Terry, before we go into the...
No, I can't think of two. I mean, other than the obvious ones, I can't think of too many. I'm rubbish at remembering this sort of stuff. Mm. And as people spark that memory, it might come into focus. But the only one, as I say, the only one that really sticks in my mind is that time against Man City when Matey Boy dribbled backwards and forwards across the goal. But was that before or after Klaus Jensen's wonder goal against
him? Was before because it was in the Premier League when we both got into the Premier League after. And everyone gave so much stick. We scored 8 goals past Nico Weaver that season.
And he kicked the ball against Klaus Jensen's knee.
All sorts of fun stuff. And then he signed for us. Addicted on the Charlton Life Forum says, funny instances of gamesmanship. The Leicester programme throwing incident where Steve Brown was trying to avoid getting sent off for a definite red card by pretending to have been shot by a sniper from the Heights. We all knew he should be sent off, but we were hoping that the ref would feel sorry for him after his career-ending injury.
So was he. He made a lovely story about that. He even went to the extent of having a plaster cut, not plaster.
He had a boot on.
A boot on.
Yeah, so Steve Brown tells. Steve Brown knew. Like he just sort of rolled over his ankle, stuck his hand out because the ball was going through and goal, handballed it, straight red card. But he laid down on the floor, desperately trying to pretend he was injured so he might not get sent off. Got sent off on the stretcher by Mike Dean, Mr. Showbiz himself. Steve Brown always says that his attempts to persuade even the physio after the game that he was fine fell on deaf ears, and the physio made him walk around in a boot for the evening because he was out that night and he had to go to dinner in a big boot.
He said he couldn't, but he also said I can't, after all the shenanigans that went on and telling everybody that he was seriously injured, he couldn't then turn around and say, well, actually, no, I was only joking.
So that's one way that, we're moaning at Birmingham did it, but we've all done it before, haven't we? So a couple of examples were tweeted in as well. JCCFC says, speaking of gamesmanship, possibly Jordan Cook's greatest contribution in a Charlton shirt. They say they think this came in a 4-3 win away at Watford. Cook was booked for kicking the ball away, but he managed to get it over a stand and out of the ground.
I'm trying to remember.
That's one instance, but I can't remember that one, but that's a good one. It's a Charlton tweet that they've quoted, so it definitely happened. Paddy says Paul Konchesky once got booked away at Watford in the League Cup in the first half for smashing the ball away. Not really time wasting, but for more being a bit of a wind up. So that's another good example of that. Then we had a few more that came in on the forum. Shine 166 that Mark Kinsella used to always take his corners from nowhere near the correct place. Do you remember
that is true.
So can you remember where he used to put it then?
Oh, as far away from the quadrant as he could possibly make it. And there were a couple of times when the referee didn't even bother.
Yeah.
And you got all the fans, especially in front of the Jimmy Seed, as he's now. You'd have all the away fans screaming at the referee and you'd take no notice. It was bizarre. And I think Mark Kinsella couldn't believe his luck sometimes. He was taking that about 2 yards in from where he should have.
John says, I remember every time we won a corner against Alex Ferguson's Man United, one of their players would have an injury. So I wonder if that was a way to try and stop us taking it quickly or something like that.
Well, that happens. Because, Jason Pearce does it all the time.
Yeah.
Towards the end, he always goes down in the box. You watch.
Yeah. Another one I sort of remembered as well. Now, I'm not sure if it counts as gamesmanship because we were 4-0 up at the time and we had absolutely no reason to need to waste any time. It was in the Premier League against not a very good Norwich City side. And we had that legendary defender, Talal El-Khoury, who we know can hit a free kick as well from distance. He had one hell of a shot on him. Now, for some reason, the ball came loose inside the Charlton box, which was the Jimmy Seed end of the ground. Don't forget, we're 4-0 up against Norwich City, a poor Norwich City side. And I've still to this day got absolutely no idea why he did it, but he absolutely levered a loose ball, which he could have taken under his control and played it back to the keeper or rolled it out or done what he wanted to it. He just levered it as hard as he could into the front row of the away fans.
Well, he must have picked out somebody, mustn't he? Somebody must have been giving him a bit of stick.
during the game.
And he decided to try and take his head off.
Take him out, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, addicted. Says, someone I know, brackets ahem, I think this isn't a confession here, blew an old Thunderer whistle in the Middlesbrough game during one of the protest games. The Borough players stopped immediately.
I remember that happening.
And he says, and we went on and scored. I remember there was, yeah, was
I remember
it not,
the whistle
yeah,
happening.
When they were through on goal and
and
someone,
they stopped.
Yeah. I thought I heard a whistle yesterday, actually, at one point when a corner came in, but I don't know if I imagined that. Right, FKA Bartram says, when we won at Chelsea in the League Cup, Kerbit, Brenda, threw it the ball on near the end to Chris Powell, who promptly kicked it straight back to her to waste more time with a big grin on his face. Forever Addict, Forever Addicted has picked up the moment that the crowd blew the whistle again. And then a few people talking about when Nicky Weaver did that thing that you were mentioning. Then a couple of people have also pointed out Jacko pouring more water onto the pitch against
Doncaster
when the game was in the process of getting rained off anyway.
That was funny.
And there was a couple of examples. So, Facts and Stats had that example as well. Now, Matt Wright pointed out a good one. Peter Varney organising the opera singer to perform before the kickoff in the Charlton managed by Pardew against West Ham managed by Kerbishley, relegation 6-pointer in the Prem, because Varney knew that Kerbs hated all the pre-match opera singer stuff. And we went on to win 4-0, so it worked. It worked very well. Right, we've got a few other tweets that have come in as well, actually, about the performance yesterday. The first one comes in from Phil. Hi, guys. The less said about the game, the better. Very disappointing. We move on. However, Lyle Taylor, I'm not a big fan of players posting on social media, and as many find they leave themselves open for abuse, which, of course, is wrong. He spent much of his international break putting up sunny pics of Montserrat and then appeared to have a great time playing with his mates on an island of 5,000 inhabitants. He's now a top championship player, perhaps looking forward to a big money move in January. We're now without him, and his move dependent on his injury could be in doubt. For what? Just for my opinion. So a couple of questions there. I think, first of all, I noticed Lyle was tweeting during the game yesterday, which I saw a couple of people having a pop at. I mean, he's not playing. It's up to him what he does. But, yeah, I mean, you can't really tell a player he can't go and play for his home nation, can you? But,
I tend to agree with the tweeting during the game that we're actually playing. I tend to agree that that probably... Especially when we're losing, by the way.
We weren't losing when he was tweeting.
No, okay, but I mean, I'd sort of agree with that it's probably not the most sensible thing you could do. Tweeting out pictures of sunny places while you're playing for your own country abroad, tough.
Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah.
If I'm stuck in... If I'm actually in Montserrat for a two-game break while everybody else is playing in Finland, I'd lord it.
Have you got a grandparent?
Sadly not,
no. Yeah. You could probably qualify for Ireland, though.
Yeah, not quite the same, is it? It's more likely to be freezing in Ireland.
But Adam Ferris, views for the podcast. I watched the stream in Moscow. We were pretty unlucky. We really could have gone either way, as the cliche goes. It's very clear how much of a step up in terms of professionalism the championship is. Birmingham knew how to stop us, and we didn't really have an answer. They took their chance, and we didn't. Not overly concerned about the result. Let's be realistic. Just below mid-table would do us nicely this season. It's great to see that we haven't been outplayed yet by anyone, and we're really holding our own with the squad we have. As for the officials for the game, they clearly haven't played the game and let Birmingham waste time and kill the game, but Birmingham are professional and were allowed to get away with it. Bowyer's red was laughable, and I'm hoping we can appeal, but I'm unsure of that. It'd be good to see a strong away performance at Wigan. Taylor's absence allows Hemed to get a decent run of games, which he clearly needs in order to get back to his best. Up the Addicts, and that is from Adam. And then we've got one final message that comes in from Ev James. Where do we start? That was rubbish and a substandard performance. Nothing was going to happen for the lads, no matter what or how hard they tried to break down that tough, resilient back line. We can take heart from the fact that we know we can and will be a force in this league post-Taylor, and now is the time to go into games not relying on his presence. Bowyer knows this, and we'll be working the magic, I'm sure. Let's regroup and go to Wigan, where we rarely win, and get back to winning ways. I'm gutted we didn't deserve to win, but no complaints, but we didn't, because we didn't deserve to win, let alone draw. So I don't think I'm overly critical. I see the games live, some away games, and I have a serious yet occasional lenient view and express that what I see, but not immediately after a game. I need to digest first. On the first 7 games this season, I see a great unity and happy with the squad. To be fair, at this stage has surprised me. I'm confident we'll have a great season. January will be the time to see if it's top two or playoffs. However, I'm controversially happy enough to see a non-Taylor influence, as come January will be Taylor-less. We performed okay yesterday, a little disjointed. But I have no worries. Keep the faith. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, actually, to discuss that any further. So cheers for your messages in. Ev, Terry, thanks for coming in this evening.
Thank you.
See
you. Cheers. Thanks, everyone.
Your first Sunday evening show of the season.
Yeah,
I believe,
it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Nice of you to finally show up. Yeah. Right, I've been the Remenders. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back here on Thursday evening as we look ahead to next Saturday's game up at Wigan. Let's hope the Charm will be back to winning ways up in the Northwest. We'll see you on Thursday.